Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are recording. Hello and welcome back to Big Strong Less Boys podcast. So yes, we are still 100% winning record to the start of the season. 5-5, 4-4 in the league. The latest, a 2-1 win away at Rotherham. We're having fun. A Leicester fiesta. Thanks for your company. And a quick mention as well. Today is our 1-year anniversary as the Big Strong Less Boys podcast. So yeah, if you've been here from the start or you're came along at some point on the journey. Thank you. It's much appreciated. So look, Jack, George, you're both here. And I'm going to go to Jack because, mate, you were at Rotherham this weekend. How are you, pal? And what did you make of the weekend? Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Jake.
what have you got me?
I'm good. Well, I haven't got you anything yet other than my company, which is, you know, the greatest present you could ever wish for.
I think Jordan's forgotten or didn't know because his face would indicate that he's not got me a card.
No. I did forget. It's the only anniversary I get these days.
Yeah, exactly. It's all we've got. We've got each other. That's it, mate.
You've not got him a card either. So I feel
But I did remember.
It's quite surreal, actually, that it's the three of us again without Rick because he's not turned up on time.
Yeah, he will be here at some point, but yeah, it is a little bit fitting. It's nice.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good. I went to Rotherham on Saturday. It was all right. It's not the nicest place in the world, is it? It's not the worst place in the world either. I would stick up for it. New ground for me, not been there before. Leicester have been there twice in pre-season games, although the club didn't realise that. It's a bit of a weird ground. Bit of a strange game again, really, because we've managed to win 2-1 without playing particularly well, but there was some good football in there, in patches, brilliant to see McAteer get two goals, local lad scoring. Doesn't get much better than that. So it was good day out. You can't beat an away day where you win late on. So no, very enjoyable. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, and a relatively late winner again, making a habit of that this season already. Just 5 games in, which is quite nice to see. In the fact that you don't really want to need to score late to win games, but they are obviously enjoyable goals to score. I went to Rotherham, so obviously didn't go this weekend, but I went years ago now, and I don't know if you lads can remember what year this was. It was when Trevor Benjamin scored the winner like you're talking when they're playing. This was at Millmall. So not even because they were at Don Valley, weren't they? That. Can you remember?
I think I was there then as well. I can't remember the exact score, but I do remember Benji scoring there.
Yeah. And it was Alan Cork was there and Benjamin scored the win. I think it was just a 1-0 win, but that was the last time I went to Rotherham. And, when we obviously then went down to the Championship, the reason why I was quite excited about it was to do these new places, and unfortunately I couldn't get to Rotherham this weekend. But you know, your Rotherhams, your Bristol Cities, these clubs that we haven't been able to go to for many years was kind of part of the plan. But anyway, George, what did you make of the game? As Jack says, it feels that we're getting the results and we're playing some nice football, but it's still, you know, we're not piecing together 90 minutes here, are we? We're kind of having to huff and puff a little bit, but eventually the quality shines through.
Yeah, I think exactly that, like you both said. I've just done the When You're Smiling podcast and heard Winks's post-match, which I'd not heard. And he seemed to think we were in second. He didn't say that. He said there's two or three more gears to go. So it seemed that we're in second gear. But we're playing well in patches for maybe 10, 15 minute spells at a time. And we've not put together what I'd say was a complete performance yet, which is a great sign because we've won every game. But we do seem to have, I don't know if it's a lack of concentration or what it is, but we have had spells in games where the opposition have been on top. And like I say, last season, they'd have scored one or two and we'd have probably not won this season. But that's the difference in quality. And yeah, we started well. It was nice to get an early-ish goal. And then after half time, I think we were pretty slow out of the blocks. But yeah, again, I mean, I wasn't worried because I knew we'd come on strong at the end of the game. And I knew we'd finish well. So another late goal, which is great. And I think as Rick said last week, we're passing teams to death and they must just be exhausted by the last 10, 15 minutes, which is why we're coming on so strong. And Casey McAteer, I mean, what a dream for an academy lad. I mean, he couldn't miss the first one, but he got up early above his man, didn't he, and put it in. And in the second one, I mean, Doyle's pass is incredible. It's so flat. I still don't know whether their fullback misjudged it or he should have cut it out, but McAteer took a terrible second touch and he had no choice but to come inside. And what a strike with your weaker foot in front of the away end. I mean, that is just stuff dreams are made of.
Yeah. Now I think for that first goal, the turn and cross from Ian Acho is great. The ball from Doyle for the second one is great. But I do think you're right, I think, to point out the defending for the second one, Jordan. It's a great goal. You don't want to take anything away from McAteer. But if you're your fullback, you've got to get tighter there for on McAteer, haven't you? As you said, it's not a great touch. He's literally just asking him to shoot. And I'll say at this level, I mean, we don't know if Casey is at this level, but the defender, he made it a little bit easier for him, didn't he?
Yeah, and I feel like one of their players ducked in the 6-yard box when I watched it back. And I thought, can you not have just stood there and it might have hit him? But yeah, I mean, he took it so well, Casey, because like I say, I think originally he probably wanted to get it onto his stronger foot and hit it across the keeper, but his bad touch made his mind up and he hit it sweetly with his left. But yeah, I think the defending wasn't the best. The defending wasn't great for their goal from us either, but it doesn't matter. Just go to these games, get in there, get out of there with the points and get back home to the King Power.
Yeah. So Casey's been injured, hasn't he, after the first game. So we haven't seen him since then. And we had a chat, didn't we, after that game, kind of trying to work out where we thought he was at level-wise, because he'd only played League Two football at Wimbledon before and by all accounts hadn't been a revelation there. So I think we were all a little bit surprised to see him start in Championship football. But George, has your opinion changed now? I mean, scoring two goals in the Championship must show to a degree that he's capable of playing at this level, right?
I think so. And I mean, it was the same with Wanyama Marcel the week before. He's kind of in and out the game, but the end of the day, they've got three goals between them in the last two. And Enzo said, we need a right winger. And obviously we've signed Atgun now. We might well have three or four options there all of a sudden. I mean, I'm guessing that Wanyama Marcel and Casey McAteer will go out on loan, I imagine, at some point in the season. But, you know, what a message to send, really, because the manager's been saying we need a winger. And then those two lads pop up with goals. and you know, it's kind of saying, well, hang on, you've got a right wing, you're already here. So it's great to see the academy lads scoring. And I think I don't want to take Jack's stat, but is it 5 out of 9 goals this season have come from the academy? Which, when you lose Barnes, who was so dangerous last season, for that to be the case is fantastic. And long may it continue. It, regardless of what division we're in, it's always great to see the swamp being drained and these players leaving and the academy lads coming through and scoring. So, yeah, I think they'll probably get on loan, but fair play to both of them because they've both come into the side and got on the score sheet, and you can't ask for much more, can you?
No. So with that, in terms of Rotherham, Jack, what was that like in the away end at the weekend? I've seen lots of nice videos. It looked like a pretty decent atmosphere. Yeah, what was it like? It, reason as well is because later on we're going to be talking about what we spoke about last week, was injuries at the football.
Yeah.
Some great ones, by the way. So thanks for people who sent in the tweets, but also the pictures. It always helps, doesn't it? So I've seen lots of bruised bums this week. So thanks for sharing them. But yeah, what was it like? Was it a bit lively in the away end?
The end was quite lively. It's funny what you talk about McAteer's second touch, because the bloke behind me was giving him stick all game and said, oh, he's not Morris. Like, of course he's not Morris.
Shock.
I mean, the second goal was quite Morris-esque, actually. We haven't had too many players cut in and smash it in the top corner off their left foot. So I did remind him of that at the end, which was quite funny. But yeah, I don't know if you can see when the second goal goes in, but someone bundles right over the advertising boards when that goes in, which is always good to see. It was decent. It was a bit quiet for sort of certain parts of it. I don't think it was rocking all the time, but parts of the game and the way we play now are quite boring. So it is quite, I think it's difficult to sort of maintain an atmosphere for that long. But it could have been better, to be fair. But the scenes at the end were brilliant. I didn't have a pie there. I'm told the meat and potato pie wasn't that bad. And I think they had San Miguel on tap, which wasn't that bad either. It wasn't the same price as was advertised on the pre-match info that Leicester sent across. It was actually more expensive. So there we are. There's inflation there. But it was a good away end. It was another ground. And I really enjoy going to those places. Yeah. You can see individual fans just sort of kicking off. There was one bloke, a bald guy who was quite large, giving it the big in and laughing along. And then
Rotherham?
From Rotherham. And then seemingly up 2 minutes before half time had enough. And decided to march down and try and start a fight with someone, which was quite funny as well. It's always good to see someone's head fall off. So it was good. It was an enjoyable day. I don't think McAteer and Wenyel go out on loan, Jordan. I actually think McAteer could be I don't think he's a winger. I actually think as an attacking midfielder, he'll be a better option. He runs all day, and I was actually quite impressed with him on Saturday, but I think there'll be good squad options. And I know we'll talk about it later, but with the amount of transfer rumours going on, we might not have any players left. So once we've got, I think.
Yeah. Right. Rick has joined us.
One more thing.
Go on.
Because I thought I'd imagine this after the game. It's obviously called the New York Stadium for reasons that I have no idea, but just before kickoff, they played Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, which I thought was the most tin pot thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that is
so much so that after the game, I imagine that? But yeah, they did that. So
that is weird. That is weird. Look, Rick is with us now. Hey, mate, how are we doing?
Evening, lads. Sorry I'm late. Apologies.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Well, I say I'm all right. I'm not, actually. A couple of ailments. Nearly didn't make it. Not felt well all day. I think it must have been that bloody festival I've been the last couple of days. But I'm here, mate. I've not missed a pod yet, so I'm going to try and always maintain that.
Yeah. How was the festival? I'd forgotten you did this. And I was going to say, I know you had a good time because, and I can't find it now because there's been far too many in the group chat. But do you know how I know you had a good time the weekend?
Why? Because I didn't send any messages.
No, well, you sent one just after midday on Saturday asking what the Leicester score was. You said, what's the Leicester score? And it had just gone 12 in the afternoon. So that's how I knew that, yeah, you were having a good time.
I was 3 hours ahead in the Cotswolds.
But there was no Barry from EastEnders, right? No, well, Sean Williamson.
Right, or no, mate.
So you get confused.
No, there was, and I'm fuming, right? So, obviously, I told you, didn't I, last week that, you know, luck would have it. You'd played Barry, I'm going to do it anyway, which I absolutely love. Always had a soft spot for Barry Evans. Even got a signed A5 poster of him that's laminated on my work desk. So, don't know why, long story. But anyway, then, you know, I knew he was playing at this festival. So, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to go. But then, when I was looking at the lineup on Friday, I couldn't see it. Obviously, it wasn't on one of the main stage or the other one, but I could not find him. So, I just presumed, you know, as it had got nearer the time, he pulled out. So, we were looking and asking around, no, nothing. And then I looked on Saturday at the Big Feastival's sort of Instagram account, and lo and behold, one of the clips was Buddy Barry. So, he did play. But
fuming.
I don't know where. So, yeah, spoilt me weekend, mate, to be honest. And, yeah, I said to you in the chat, a couple of incidents, both toilet-related. So, first one, have you ever been... Do you know them urinals that they've got at places like that where you're all facing one another? They're almost like in a star shape.
Yeah, the eye contact's a bit much for me.
Yeah, well, I've been for a couple of whittles over one of the days, and you know, you it's obviously a bit uncomfortable. But then I went another time, and I was just there, and then this bloke came along, sort of to my left, so he was sort of like there. He's about 50, 60. Oh, he goes, "These are brilliant, aren't they? What a fantastic idea these are." I was like, "What?" He goes, "These urinals." He goes, "It's great. You can have a chat." I was like, "Yeah, sound mate." And it was just there. I could see his old lad. It were there. He were out. And I was just, oh my God. And he was like, "Are you all right, mate?" I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He goes, "Oh, you're not very talkative." But that's funny that. So I shot off. And then, yeah, the other one was at the campsite. I'd needed to find somewhere to charge the phone because our tickets were on there for the next day. And I had a howler. Went into like the clubhouse bit. Couldn't find anywhere, but, you know, I realised I needed a pony. So I went scurrying about, went in, committed, didn't I? And then realised there were no bog roll. So I've then had to like get me kegs up and sort of waddle over. In the process of doing this to go into the next trap, I'm in the women's toilets, aren't I? At a rugby club, this campsite. So I won't be allowed back there in Stonewold. But yeah, apologies to anyone that found me, but it wasn't deliberate, and yeah, I did manage to get some bog roll eventually. But yeah, very so. Yeah, good weekend, but
good.
Yeah, few bits.
Yeah, so obviously you weren't able to see the game, but across it. But Rhea, I want to ask you actually about what you would have seen Enzo said about Wanya Marcel and his non-inclusion this weekend. It surprised me, to say the least. Scored.
Yes.
Raving about him last week, and then not just dropped, but from the starting 11, dropped altogether. And then the quote being that he basically doesn't want to give young players too much too soon. I'll be honest, I read into that a little bit and thinking, I may be adding two and two and getting five, but maybe he was a little bit concerned by Wanya's attitude in training the following week and maybe wanted to just bring him down a peg. I don't know. What did you make of it? I was surprised.
Yeah, so I read that. When I saw the team news and seen he wasn't in, I presumed he was injured, which would have carried on our sort of little niggles that we seem to be getting. You know, McAteer was obviously out after the Cov game for a bit. But yeah, it is quite surprising. Fair enough, he's not first choice. But he was doing a job and he's done pretty well. Obviously I've not seen the game, but I've seen the extended highlights and McAteer looked like he had obviously a fantastic game but not just the two goals. He seems to be off the ball movement and stuff does seem to be a lot stronger. Yeah, I mean, Rob Tanner did an article last week about Wanya and his brothers, and it all seemed like really positive. He wants to sign a new contract. I know his contract's up in the summer, so whether anything, I mean, as I say, you'd hope that would take care of itself and it'll be done. Yeah, don't know.
I wonder whether it might be something to do with the interview.
You reckon?
Well, I haven't read the interview, so I don't know, but I just wonder whether he... You know, it's all very well you want to sign the contract. There might be one on offer and he might be asking for loads more money or something. I don't know. So I read something into that potentially.
Yeah, it's a good point. And somebody has alluded on Fox's talk about contract talks and not saying, you know, what's happening, but that, you know, that whether it hasn't gone well. But that's why Rob Tanner's article, though, saying that he's desperate to sign a new deal.
Tavares did something similar. I'm not casting in the same light as Tavares.
The Portuguese mafia. I don't know, but I would get him out on loan anyway. I think, you know, we're getting wingers in. I'd get a new deal on the table, get that signed, and then get him out on loan. I'd keep McAteer. I'd just joined as you were talking about that. Jack's right. I think he's more of an eight than a winger. I mean, in the under-21s, he always played either left wing or as an eight. He's never played right wing, but, you know, he started well in that regard, hasn't he? So it's just nice, isn't it? Because we've wanted the inclusion of academy players under Rodgers a bit more. I know Premier League, it's harder to perhaps be able to blood them, but just nice that they've come in. They're probably not even the ones that you would arguably say are the most talented, and yet they're contributing, which is brilliant.
Rick, did you know it was our anniversary today? It's one year of the Big Strong Leicester Boys.
I did, but I forgot because last week I asked when was the 1 year anniversary, and Jack said, or Jude, it was a year this weekend coming. Well, many happy returns, boys.
We'll have to do another celebration at some point. And also, I was thinking as well, because we're going to do some more of, not necessarily the live pods. We've done the caravan pod, haven't we? We're going to start to try and do a few more where we're all actually together. So, Jack, were you saying post-Stoke?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
We'll
look
plan
to do them then. And if people would like to house us, i.e. like a pub or someone like that, and you'd like us to come down and do the podcast from there after the game, get in touch and we'll look to do that. And we'll start, because it's nice to do, isn't it? And obviously we've got the boat. Someone's been in touch on Twitter as well. Yeah. We mentioned this last week.
Really?
Forget you don't go on the Twitter, do you? So obviously we mentioned last week about Harry Winks, and we get on the barge boat. We'd have a celebration at the end of the season if we won the league. And I said, if anyone's got one, get in touch. Well, the power of this podcast, George, someone has been in touch and they say they have a boat and we can borrow it. I mean, that would be incredible. So we say we've done the caravan, and it could well be a barge boat at the end of the season.
And if Harry Winks is listening, which he probably isn't.
He might be.
But you're more than welcome to come on, Harry.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
How did that question not get asked of him? I mean, the amount of people that said they'd sent one in to the Leicester City Instagram account, it's really disappointing, because I'm sure the answer would have been a hard no. But
I mean, working as the Leicester admin, right, when you put out stuff like that, I often wonder this. Like, I wonder what percentage of proper questions there were in there, because they must have got like crazy amounts, and there's probably about five that you were actual usable ones.
Well, most of them were from the players, weren't they?
Yeah, one was from Amza Chowdhury about how much he eats.
Was it?
Yeah, boring.
Great content, yeah. Anyway, I now am going to need you to chat amongst yourself for 5 minutes, because I'm on Who Are Your Duty today. I've got my player, but I need to get some clues. And that's fine. The defence and Doyle and Vestergaard, a quick one there, I'm going to throw that out there. Because in the EFL Team of the Week, it was McAteer and Doyle both got in this week. We mentioned the pass from Doyle already. You guys can speak a little bit more in depth in terms of what his performance was like. But then with Yannick Vestergaard, I feel like he gets stuck under that one again for the goal that we concede. And ordinarily, you'd think, or you'd say, maybe being a bit harsh, but the guy's 6'6". Do you know what I mean? It's just, he just doesn't really ever seem to dominate anything in the air. I know we've mentioned this a million times before. But yeah, and I'm also going to throw in the conversation that we were having in the group chat about Harry Suter, another player that we've mentioned, and maybe why he's not been playing. So we just thought and presume. Now, look, we don't know for sure that Enzo decided that he couldn't play the style of football that he wants to play, which was why Yannick was playing. But maybe, just maybe, Harry was one of the players that told the club he didn't want to play in the Championship. And maybe that's a reason why he's not been playing. So I'm now going to say we'll take a break. And after that break, you'll come back and discuss that. So yeah, Rick, we'll take a break. You're supposed to say Bob. There he is. Right, Jack, you pick up, mate.
Right, okay. So there was a lot there to,
wasn't
to unpick.
There? Sorry.
Defenders.
I need the time.
Large
the
ones. Okay. After the game, I said, I thought Vestergaard and Doyle had good games. Then I forgot that they both defended like the Chuckle Brothers for the first goal. But I thought Vestergaard played all right, actually. And he did get his head on a lot of things, which for a bloke that's 6'7", but is renowned for being 5'4" when he jumps, I thought that was better from him. And he actually, he knocked the ball around pretty well. So I actually thought he was all right. It was the first game that we didn't get caught out with sort of a 1v1 with him chasing back, which was pleasing. Doyle, I love Doyle. I think he's tremendous. He didn't do particularly well for the goal, but just the amount of times he plays the crossfield ball and like the accuracy with his passing, I mean, you can tell he's had a good footballing education. I thought he was, again, very, very good. Fares as well. There was one bit where I think Yannick chipped it to him and he managed to sort of head it up and then control it while someone was closing him down and then just play a simple pass. But the way those three actually played, I think one thing we did do really well on Saturday, and I think there's some stuff going around on Twitter of like how well we play through the first press. I don't think Rotherham are a particularly fantastic pressing team, but the way they just sort of cut through it, I think you call it breaking the lines, don't you, for the footballing hipsters. But the way they did that, I thought was really impressive. And I'm actually getting to a stage now where I don't think I'm allergic if Yannick stays, whereas previously I was like, he's only a stopgap. Now, don't get me wrong, if we can sign Taylor Harwood-Bellis or someone like that, I'd be absolutely buzzing. Because I think they'd be good long-term options. And if you think you get Cody Doyle and Harwood-Bellis playing together with Fez as another option in there, I think that's really, really exciting. But yeah, I think the defence is shaped up all right. I mean, we've only had one clean sheet, haven't we, against Huddersfield, but we've not conceded more than one in a game. So yeah, it looked all right for me. Set pieces are a bit of a concern. Keeper doesn't look brilliant on crosses for me. He looks brilliant at everything else. But crosses do seem like his weak point. George, you want to pick up?
Yeah, I agree with that, mate, on the goalkeeper. I thought the Coventry goal, he should have come and collected it from the corner. They obviously scored it in front of the away end, which I think was offside in the end, was given for offside.
No, he'd elbowed in. He elbowed it in.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because you couldn't actually see very well what
happened. We had no idea what was going on, but Hermansson came running out, like pointing to his elbow, and I was like, oh, has he been elbowed in the head? But Hughill had elbowed it in at the far post. So it was actually unbelievable refereeing because I don't know how he saw it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there's no VAR, thankfully. But yeah, again, that's from a set piece. That said, you know, Rotherham was a very difficult team to play against. I thought they just tried to get free kicks and just load it into the box. And, you know, like you say, we didn't get caught out too high up the pitch or too square, but that kind of game should, in theory, suit Vestergaard, where he can just head it away. Whereas their goal, I actually felt a bit sorry for Doyle watching it back, because I think it's their fullback that gets the run on him. Whether Hermansson should have come and collected it, or Vestergaard should have got there I don't know, but it was a bit soft. But I think, yeah, Doyle, yeah, he had the run on Doyle. It was, he had a bit of a stationary jump, and it was quite a difficult one for him. I still would like to see Vestergaard be moved on, but the problem is we're not going to be able to get rid of him on those wages, I don't think. And this interview that he said in Denmark, where he's got the pick of his top five leagues or whatever ridiculous statement it came out with, well, I don't think that's true. And that goes for the six players that said, oh, I actually want to stay now Maresca's here. I think that's a load of rubbish. I just don't think they're going to get the payday elsewhere that we're giving them. So, you know, the sooner Cody comes back, the better for me. I think, to be fair, if we can't shift Vestergaard as a third choice centre-back, he's probably absolutely fine at this level. And then, you know, as me and Rick have been a big advocate of getting Doyle into the centre and getting Justin into the team at some point, which, you know, when the window closes, that may well be the case. So I think, yeah, defensively, I think we're probably pretty well covered. I mean, like you say, Jack's set pieces is probably the only weakness there going forward. And yeah, I mean, I think Doyle's going to be the signing of the season, I do, for Leicester. And we've had, you know, I praised Winks and Cody last week, and Cody's not even played yet, but Doyle just looks so at ease. And he obviously, he's had that upbringing at Man City, and he plays for England under 21s, but he's just so calm on the ball and he's very cultured. And I'd love to see him play through the middle because I can't see him getting caught out like Vestergaard has been in behind. I think his reading of the game is just too good, and he's probably too quick for that to happen to him anyway. But on the ball, him, like you say, breaking the lines, if you can have him and well, probably end up being him and Cody. I mean, Fez might not even play. So I think we're pretty well stocked there. And maybe we get a centre-half in before the window. And the suit of things interesting. I mean, obviously, we don't know what's gone on, so it's all speculation. But there is a reason why he's not playing. And maybe it is because the manager doesn't think he's good enough on the ball. But if he thinks he's too good for the Championship, then, like a lot of players seemingly have said at Leicester, then I think he's in for a bit of a rude awakening, personally.
When's Cody back? What's the official? I know it's not an official date, but rough.
End of September, but he's apparently got his boot off now. Right. So he should be training soon.
So we're going to play the Southampton and Norwich games without him, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see? Because, yeah, you're right in everything you've just said there. I mean, even Vestergaard, you know, he's doing okay. Stroke doing quite well. I think let's see again in a step up in class what happens, because we've only kept one clean sheet in the league so far, and that was away at Huddersfield, wasn't it? I mean, Hermanson does look brilliant. Admittedly, didn't see the Rotherham game, but I've seen the highlights, and you know, his distribution is just phenomenal.
Rick, sorry to interrupt point. There. He played a pass in the second half through the middle of the pitch,
yeah,
into Ricardo's feet. It was incredible.
Sensational. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because some of his part, he's just so comfortable, and it's not just sort of pinging 40 yarders. It's actually his short passing that's just so accurate, because Ricardo and Winks just get the ball straight away, and Ward and Everson just wouldn't have the balls to do that. And you even as a fan now watching, you feel relatively content with him doing that. It's been a bit of a adjustment for me, because I'm used to watching Schmeichel whack it over Castagna's head about 8 times a game. I'll miss that.
You do.
But, go on.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to say, but you like Stolarczyk, or however you pronounce his name, he had a good game within reason against Huddersfield. But what Hermanson actually manages to create, the openings he creates, it's integral. Like, you know, Stolarczyk kept a clean sheet, the only one we've kept so far. Well, two in the cup, which is good. But Hermanson, he's almost integral to our open play. Like, without him, I think it perhaps is even more limited. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just really blown away by him. He looks a bargain at 4 million or whatever we've paid for him. And we've just got to protect his weaknesses. So we've got to be stronger at defending crosses and corners. So whoever is in there needs to be stronger at that. Yeah, I mean, Vestergaard, that's his real weakness, isn't it? Which is annoying for his size.
Right, I'm back. We'll do that. Who are you in a couple of moments' time? Let's do a bit of Dear Ric Flair, shall we, Jack? But again, we haven't had questions in again, have we? But it's on the carrying on the theme from last week's chat. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got a load of stories in. We have got one voice note, but I don't know how to get off Twitter messages on to here, unless you do.
I do, yeah. Right, so that's fine, mate. If you send that in the group now,
and right, then... I've sent it, so you've got that. So if you can extract that, I'll do that
super quick. Yeah,
because that's a good one, and then I will get up some stories, starting with.
Can I play the music first?
Yeah, play the music first. I need somebody help,
not just anybody help. You know I need someone. Ric Flair.
Right, so I'm on WhatsApp now. It's a super professional podcast today, isn't it? So you can go through the ones that don't require the voice note. And by the time you've done that, I will have that voice note ready for you, okay?
Superb. Right, so the first one is, and I'm going to send you this photo in the WhatsApp group just so you've got it, Rick, because it is horrendous.
Okay.
So I want your Ric Flair rating on this. So,
Have you just sent it now?
I've just sent it now. So I'm just going to need to describe this for people. This is someone's behind that is entirely bruised. Like it's just a bruise. It's one of the worst bruises I've ever seen.
That's unbelievable.
So basically, this was this was in Rome, and actually, I've just remembered a story in of a European trip. But the European grounds aren't particularly safe, I don't think, because there were a few incidents when we went on European trips. Now, there's obviously alcohol involved, and people weren't at their sharpest, but this guy apparently, this is from D. Lester H. I don't think that's his real name. He slipped down the stairs, the concourse in Rome. But the funniest thing is, he spent a few minutes before telling the old fella in front of him to take his time because it was very steep. So. But apparently, he turned up to the local hero before the next home match, and everyone was asking to see his ass.
Was that just a bruise? Mine didn't even look that bad, and I shattered my coccyx.
I don't know how he is now, and I'm no medical expert, but I think something else may have gone. To be honest,
something's gone there, hasn't it? I mean,
something,
that's
something more sinister at play there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it reminds me actually, Randers when we went. So George was there as well. But obviously it was very icy when we went. And you could drink in the stands. And we scored early on, so everyone was throwing their beer in the air. But honestly, the bloke who stood next to me, he was probably mid-40s. The amount of people I saw stack it just coming up the stairs. There was one bloke that fell down twice and sort of laughed it off. The third time he went down, I just heard, like, you know when you hear like the wind just evaporate from someone and just a giant crack. And I just saw like the sadness in his eyes when he went down, being like, that's a broken rib, isn't it? So there we go. What with that one, what Ric Flair rating for the injuries?
I mean, that bruise is, I don't see how you get worse than that as a bruise, or better, whatever way you want to dice it up. I know I gave a 10 out of 10 last week, and I'm going to give that a 9 and 9.2. It's nearly made me cry after a heavy weekend, that. I hope he's all right now. I hope your bottom's okay. If you need any advice on any ointments or cushions to sit on. I mean, what is it? It's been over a year now since that Rome game, but that's a bad one.
That is bad. And do you know what's even funnier? I've obviously managed to notify him whilst reading the story, so he's just sent me a message as well. Either that or my phone is listening to me, which I'm convinced it is. Okay, cool. Right, next one. Now, this has got an image as well, and it's a bloke in a wheelchair with his hood
I've
up.
I've seen it. I've seen that.
It's a good one, right? So, and I think this is kind of the nub of what we're talking about with injury supporting Leicester City, because one of our all-time goals, probably one of the best goals I've ever seen in my lifetime as a Leicester fan. So so this guy, what is his name? Luke. So Luke, his mates, dislocated his knee while celebrating Yuri Tillerman's FA Cup final winning goal. He was stuck between two chairs for the rest of the second half, facing the crowd, not being able to watch the game through sheer pain. When the paramedics arrived to take him out on a chair, Chilwell's goal went in. He was then taken away just as he was going upstairs. The referee disallowed the goal. All we could see was him waving two arms in the air, yelling through his pain. He missed us lifting the trophy, and this was him being taken away after the game, which is him in a wheelchair being carried out to an ambulance.
That's exceptional, isn't it? I mean, just to be able to celebrate that Chilwell. I mean, I know we all hate VAR, and you know, I don't want to be hypocritical to then revel in that, but you know, Chilwell, Pekka, and that happening, and as winning, just brilliant. That again, so it's got to be in the nines. That you know, dislocating another really painful one. That you don't run that off, do you?
No, you don't run that off.
Oh, and we won the FA Cup for. It's got to be a 9.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's about 9.5.
Some people can, when they dislocate their knee, they can put it back, can't they, themselves?
Depends what ligament damage you do in the meantime, isn't it? Very true. I've dislocated my finger, but I snapped all the ligaments at the same time, which wasn't ideal. But there we go. Right. This one, actually, there's a few. So, again, it's a European trip, and again, it's Eindhoven related. There's quite a few related to Eindhoven, actually. I think I'll do them all in once. So, Dave Bevan said, I'm still amazed there weren't mass casualties in Eindhoven for Ricky P's goal. And that was after the building work collapsed in the ticket collection queue, which I'd forgotten about. But
I was helping. I saw that. Man.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty bad. But, I mean, there were several. So, Ben did his ankle ligaments after the goal, which doesn't really surprise me on that. I think callers Leicester broke their ankle. Yeah. So, a broken big toe on the stairs at PSV away. I saw my mate get punched in the face by a 73-year-old man for having his hearing aids knocked out, which I've told before. I mean, that was just health and safety gone wrong. Can you give a Ric Flair rating to sort of Eindhoven in general?
I mean, this is just, that's madness, isn't it? I didn't go, so I can't. I mean, I have been to that stadium actually when I was very, very young, but I don't think I went for a Burton down the steps, which is a good job. But it's another solid one, isn't it, as a collective group injury. I mean, we should all put, it should be on the daytime TV adverts making a claim through whatever. I'm going to give that 8.9. You know, there's, I think it's because I've got nines early, that feels like it's not worthy of it. I mean, they're solid injuries, aren't they? And again, that was about our last late winner, wasn't it, prior to this season? So it was a rarity in itself. Yeah, 8.9.
Right, Jake's back. Have you managed to get the story? Oh, superb!
I have. Yeah. Apologies if that took a little bit longer than planned.
No, that's my fault. I should have done it before. But just one thing: if anyone before you do that, if anyone hasn't seen the comments from Rick's extended family on our Instagram account, they're well worth. Because every time you tell these stories, I'm like, this must be bollocks. But either your brother or your wife vouches for you on it. Liz's account, I think, is particularly good. So I'd encourage anyone to give that a read.
Yeah, right. So we had a voice note in from @LMLCFC. It is about 1:30 long, Rick, but it's a great story. So this is it. Let's have a listen.
Hello, lads. Hope you're well. Love the pod as always. Keep up the good work. Dear Ric Flair, after hearing Rick's comments on the last pod about injuries whilst watching Leicester, thought I'd share my story. So back in 2017, the Champions League campaign, Leicester versus Atletico Madrid. I wasn't in Madrid, I wasn't in Plaza Mayor, but I was at something just as good, the Beacon Inn, the Beacon Pub in Loughborough, if anyone knows it. Now, after the game, obviously, we were all absolutely steaming, and we hear a big bang, which came from up Beacon Road, a bit further up the road. And about 30 seconds later, a car tyre starts rolling down the road, rolling down the hill. So me being absolutely wrecked, I decide to chase after this tyre, get it for a souvenir or whatever. And obviously singing Jamie Vardy's Having a Party, of course. I don't know what else you'd sing when chasing a car tyre. And unfortunately, I took the wrong step off a curb, rolled my left ankle and snapped the ligaments in my left ankle. Now, I don't know how many ligaments humans have in their ankle, but I think I snapped all of them. Couldn't walk the next day, or for several days after that, in fact, but it was my 18th birthday the following day. I was meant to be going Planet Bounce. Instead, I had to go and watch my friends do the bouncing, and I just sat in the cafe, which was great fun. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So, as I said, keep up the good work, lads. And I want to know, Rick, what would you have done in that situation when you fell over and tore your ligaments in your ankle? Would you have played it off, limped back, acting hard? Or would you have lay on the floor asking for an ambulance and getting pity off your mates? What do you reckon?
So there we are. Rick, what did you make of that one, mate? Great voice note, by the way. So thanks for that. It's great. Really appreciate it.
Hello, lads. Hope you're well. Love
you going again. So good we played it twice.
Keep it on loop like the old days. That's outstanding. Had everything that, didn't it? You know,
did.
Bad injury, which don't like anyone getting injured, but you know, that's the name of the game. Lovely storytelling, you know. He got me in the first 5 seconds. I was hooked. And then, you know, a tyre, chasing a tyre. I mean, brilliant. 9.9. Oh. Yeah, quality. And what would I have done in that scenario? I would have been asking for an ambulance.
Yeah.
And I would have looked for someone to blame for that. Whoever's tyre it was, their fault. Would have claimed on their insurance.
All right then. Right, is that it for all of them? I missed everything else happening.
Yeah, that is it. You can enjoy that listening back. I was thinking as we were going through that and reminded of when Rick said Seagrave wasn't safe. How long do you reckon it is before we get one of the players sending a message in, like celebrating on the bench or something, explaining why he's out for 3 months with a stubbed toe?
So shall we go back to actual letters next week, please? Or, you know, obviously voice notes is fine, but some questions for Rick next week. So please, as usual, Twitter and Instagram, voice notes if you can.
Voice notes better. Yes. It saves me reading them and not doing the story justice. So if you can send a voice note in, that'd be ideal.
All right, perfect. Right, should we do a bit of Who Are You?
Yeah, can we do a break before then? Just as we've lost Rick.
Where is he?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right, we have literally just lost... Oh, he's back. I was going to say it was the chance. Rick isn't here. Someone else is going to win it.
I was having a bit of trouble with my sound.
Yeah. So... you are all here. We will do Who Are You. I'm in charge this week. Got a feeling, but I say this every time, but I've got a feeling this will be over quickly.
Someone said Rick is unbeaten. Like, no one's ever beaten him whilst Dubs on. I don't think that's true.
This is not true. Last week.
Yeah.
I lost last week.
No, but before, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, the leaderboard, which you obviously haven't done at any point, Rick is by far and away comfortably leading, fully aware. But me and Jack have got at least one.
Yeah, that's
you have. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I reckon it's Jordan's day today.
Oh, I hope it is.
You never know.
What was that song back in the day? If Tony Hibbert scores, we're on the pitch. Because obviously, what was he like? 500 career appearances and never scored a goal. That's where I feel like we're almost at now, Jordan.
I don't know how it's been so bad.
But you would associate your level here, a record at this game, with someone who doesn't know a lot about football or who doesn't watch a lot of Leicester.
Yeah,
I think I'd go as far to say you've probably been to the most games here. I think I'd confidently say that.
Well, I was saying you don't remember
any of these players.
That's what I was saying on WhatsApp, wasn't it? That, you know, if you can remember the game, you've not drank enough. Right. So that's probably what it is.
It is remarkably bad. But anyway, right, let's go in. And as usual, we'll start with the date of birth so you can get a picture of how old they are. I was born on the 4th of June, 1981.
42.
Correct. They are 42. Right. So that's the easy part. And I've now got a list of clues here that I'm now going to distinguish which one is the hardest one to go with first. Right. Again, a little bit more in terms of painting the picture. I played for Leicester in 2013. Okay. Feel free to ask questions if you'd like me to elaborate further.
2013, that's Pearson, yes. Isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Lee Peltier.
Incorrect.
Oh, good shout, though. Wayne Brown.
No, it's not Wayne Brown. So, in the year 2004, my name changed. Okay, I like that one. That was met
Lloyd
with...
Dyer.
It's not Lloyd Dyer. Why would you guess Lloyd Dyer?
I don't know.
No, what did he used to be? Sir Lloyd.
Yeah. Lord.
yes, Lord Lloyd. I, interestingly, was spotted by scouts. My big break. I was spotted by scouts whilst playing in a charity football game.
Michael Morrison?
Incorrect. Oh, I'm happy with this. This was difficult.
DJ Campbell.
It's not DJ Campbell. But... Jordan, not been patronising, two good guesses. And I wish I could elaborate more to tell you that you obviously, not a million miles away.
Don't encourage him. Just
no, I'm sorry.
Rick's putting his thinking cap on.
Yeah. All right, I've only got one more clue for you. You absolutely have to get it, right? I scored in the Championship playoff final in 2010.
Gary Taylor Fletcher.
Correct, Gary Taylor Fletcher.
And his name did change, didn't it? Of course it did. Yes.
So he was Gary Fletcher, but when he got married, he decided to take on his wife's name as well. So technically, theoretically, changed his name in 2004 to Gary Taylor Fletcher. Rick, congratulations.
I was gonna guess him
on the first one because I was thinking who was 30 under Pearson or 32. Yeah. But then, because we've talked about Gary the other week, I thought, exactly. No, you won't go there.
Yeah, so again, that's why I was a little bit worried, because we literally spoke about Gary last week. And then with it being the anniversary of the pod, I sent Gary a message earlier on today, but he's blue-ticked me, lads. So,
Gary.
So he's read my message, but he isn't coming on. Maybe he was just busy and he'd get back to me at some point and we'll get him on another time. So I went with Gary Taylor Fletcher today. And so interestingly, I think well known that he was a labourer and he was late into the professional game. So he was a roofer, and he was playing in a charity football game, a team of labourers against Northwich Victoria. And some scouts at Northwich said basically they thought he was decent. He ended up in the team there and was good for Northwich. Ended up moving to Leyton Orient, but his best spell before he went on to like Huddersfield and Blackpool was at Lincoln. And they were managed by Keith Alexander, no longer with us, who was his manager at Northwich Victoria. So, interesting career, to say the least, Gary Taylor Fletcher. The other clue, actually, I never got around to is I've played and scored in the top six leagues of English football and also in the top flight of Welsh football as well. Got around a bit, didn't he, our Gary? He's now the assistant manager at AFC Crewe. It's not Crewe Alexandra, AFC Crewe. So I have no idea what level they play at, but that's what he's up to these days, apart from ignoring my messages.
Well, get him on.
Well, I tried, mate. I tried. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Right. So back to some football chat.
Yeah.
On the fixtures. Okay. So would you rather do... rather. So the two lads that we've got coming in, I mean, Rick, two wingers.
Yeah.
Right-footed or left-footed right-wingers?
Both left-footed right-wingers.
Right. So this is your bread and butter, right?
Yeah. But I was joking earlier. We feel like we're almost going to be too well stocked on that side now, aren't we?
Well, I mean, there'll be inevitable injuries, Rick, on their first day of training.
No, it's brilliant. I've been waiting for this day. I don't know too much about Issahaku, is it? Abdul Fatawa Issahaku?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with just Fatawa.
Fatawa, that'll do. Yeah.
Until I hear... like Owen Palmeraki do his name in commentary. Up until that point, I'm just going to go with Abdul Fatawa.
Yeah. Mm. The clips of him, he's got a ripper of a left foot. Some of the goals he scored are just like, screamers. So he looks raw. He could well be, a bit inconsistent, but whether we look to play him in other positions, I know he can play through the middle and maybe off the left as well, so he's perhaps versatile. But Akgun, he's your creative right winger, I think we need. Again, don't know loads about him. Turkish football, we've not fared too well with Cengiz Under when he came. It was in the Premier League. But he had a good game last week in the Champions League qualifiers. I felt like that meant he wasn't coming here. And then literally the next morning, he was on a flight over to us. So, music to my ears. I can't wait to see him. And I think there's more business to come.
I think with both of them, it's interesting because they're both at two big football clubs and they're both very young. So at one point or another, clearly these very big football clubs who play, you know, top European football thought that these two were going to be superstars. But I mean, it is difficult because the reality is we haven't seen them play for Leicester yet, or I've not seen either of them play at any real length of time at all. But I do just wonder sometimes you can get drawn in by the clubs that they play for and the ages that they are. And then sometimes you ask yourself, are they actually that good? And with Fatawa, Rick, he's a teenager, right? And
he's only 19, he's
ordinarily for a club like Sporting Lisbon or the Portuguese clubs, one thing they're brilliant at is selling players for top dollar. It's a loan deal and the option of making it permanent isn't for a huge amount. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm a little bit thinking like, I'm excited because it's a teenage winger coming from Sporting Lisbon, but also we need to remind ourselves he's coming to the Championship and Sporting Lisbon aren't asking too much cash for him. He's probably not brilliant.
I think it's 14 mil, isn't it? 14 million euros,
I think. Is it that much?
So, yeah, and to be honest, Sporting, I think Sporting have this reputation of being very, very shrewd. No, all they did was they managed to have our pants down on Slimani and Adrian Silva. There's been a couple of other players that they've let go. Was it Matias Pereira who went to West Brom? They got him on a similar deal to what we'd be getting this season. West Brom then had a great season on loan in the Championship and they got him for about 6 million. And then I know he then ended up in Saudi Arabia or wherever before it was cool to go there. But yeah, you're right, Jay. I mean, usually
I might be being harsh. I might be being harsh.
It's a valid point. He looks raw and I don't know. His end product and what he's done for Sporting so far, he's not done a lot. But then at this level, you never know, do you? It's a bit of a step down platform to let's see. And Akgun's another who, interestingly with Akgun, he was on loan at Demispor, not last season, the season before, where he got 8 goals and 11 assists. And his manager there was Vincenzo Montella, who's really good friends with Maresca. Maresca was an assistant with him at Seville. So there's obviously a connection there, how he's perhaps been he's been sort of earmarked for here. And it makes you wonder, are these signings purely Maresca signings now rather than Glover? It might seem like he's having a massive hand in that, which we know with Brendan doesn't necessarily mean that's the best thing unless they're brilliant. So, but yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, looking forward to seeing him.
And say it's going to be an interesting last few days because that's all it is left now in terms of getting that business done. And I think if we get those two wingers in and potentially Harwood Bellis, I know we've mentioned already, I think we'd all be very, very happy with that. It's then the conversations of who leaves the football club. Now, I know we mentioned last week what had been said from the club, or we think had been said from the club, that they were looking to do permanent deals, or they wanted permanent deals as opposed to loans, which means that lots of the players they want out could end up staying. But it appears that Castagna's pretty much done now to Fulham. Talk of Patson Daka to Bournemouth. I mean, whether that happens or not, there's certainly a link there anyway. Iheanacho still being linked with a move as well. I haven't really heard anything about Sumari unless I've missed it. But again, absolutely not in the
there's
plans.
There's some links to like Seville or something. There's Seville and Fenerbahce, I think.
But it doesn't feel like anything's particularly imminent or concrete. I mean, it might be. You just might not know about it. But point being is it's a big few days, isn't it, in terms of moving these guys out. And certain lads, like I mentioned, Sumari and Suter, there doesn't really appear to be much talk about them. But one, again, which I just missed off there, which looks like it's as good as done, is Wilfred and Didi as well. So, I mean, where to start?
Chris Jansen's going. There's
a long name. Chris Jansen off to
it is
to
a long
Bologna.
Name, Jake. Yeah,
long
yeah.
list of names. Yeah, long yeah. list of names. But yeah, Chris Jansen off to Bologna. I think indeed he's the big one we've got to talk about, haven't we? Been at the football club a long time. For one period or a certain period, for me, the best disruptor in the Premier League. Like, genuinely. I honestly think that. I think when Kante went from Chelsea, his position changed. And in terms of stats and numbers, it was him. He was the top guy. But for at least 18 months now, he's not been the same player. And I feel like I should be annoyed that he's going to Nottingham Forest. I feel like I should be sad he's leaving. But I'll be honest, I'm kind of not. You know, I'd rather he didn't go to Nottingham Forest. I'd rather he was good and playing for us. But Jordan, I don't think that player's there anymore. And I'm not too bothered as long as you get a decent fee for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've got no affection towards him or anger that he's going to Nottingham Forest. I don't particularly think they're signing a great player at the Ndidi that we know at the minute. Like you said, he was at one point being touted for some of the best clubs in Europe. But
huge fees.
Yeah, for 50, 60 million.
Yeah.
And I think as an aside, that position in general in the game these days is not that familiar anymore. I don't, you know, teams tend to play with 2 8s now and they're more ball playing footballers than people who try and break up the game. So I'm not too sad to lose him at all. And as bizarre as it sounds, I mean, obviously I know Maresca's tried to play him in a different way. The way we play now, I don't think indeed he's good enough. I don't think he's good enough to play in the Championship. So, I think it's just time to move Wilf on. If we can get a decent fee for him, then, you know, he goes with our, well, not with our best wishes because he's going to Forest, but he's been here for probably too long and he's gone kind of stale. So, not fussed at all. And then, I mean, like you said, Jake, it's a long list of names. Christensen to Bologna, it hasn't worked out at all. Doyle looks a better player. Thomas to Leeds, potentially. I think that's an odd one.
I missed that one as well. Yeah.
That's an odd one because I think if Leeds have got designs on bouncing straight back, I know they need a stopgap because Sam Byram's injured. I don't think Luke Thomas is necessarily the player that you would want in terms of going back to the Prem. I think Luke Thomas would benefit by all means from a loan move in the Championship, but Whether we'll loan him out to Leeds, I'm not 100% sure. Sumari, I mean, like Jack said, I think Sevilla were looking at him potentially, but I can't see anybody trying to take him on the wages that I imagine we pay him. And then I don't think the Dhaka thing's got that much more legs, is it? Because I don't think Bournemouth can afford it, because we don't want to loan him. We want to sell. And then I would keep Iheanacho, actually, on the basis that I think if we were to move him on, or if he were to go to Wolves or Palace, who have supposedly been sniffing around, I think it just leaves us too short. And I think we need a striker anyway. So I don't think we can afford to lose Kel and Dhaka. We could probably afford to lose one of them, but not both. And obviously, Castagne goes to Fulham. I think he's going to go tomorrow. I think they've got a decent signing for that price, and he's a decent player. But again, get yourself out of here, mate. It's really strange getting relegated, and I just want to see them all gone other than JV. Yeah. You bring in some new blood and go again. So yeah, busy few days, hopefully.
No, I think it will be. And I think, you know, with that potential negativity around Fatawa and Action, it's just I'm aware I'm still struggling to come to terms with us signing players to try and get into the Champions League. And now we're signing players of, and again, I'm saying of this level because we don't know what level they are. But do you know what I mean? We're buying players for £4 or 5 million or young players from loans from other clubs who, you know, a few years ago we were significantly bigger than. I'm still just kind of still trying to get my head round all of that. You know, players like Castagne, etc., they've played in the Champions League. Players like Ndidi. And like, we just need to be, not sure, but remind ourselves, the players that are coming in, yes, they are young. Yes, it is a bit of fresh blood, but are they actually better than the ones that we're letting go? And I know that sometimes there's bigger picture stuff. As you said, indeed, he's probably been at the club for too long. And if they don't want to be at the football club, then yeah, absolutely get rid of them. But that's kind of still where I'm at in terms of I'm struggling to get excited by lots of the players that are coming in, because I'm seeing the ones that are going out. But Jack, we haven't mentioned then Luke Thomas or George briefly there, looks like to Leeds. Other players as well, Dennis Pratt, Danny Ward, Daniel Everson. I mean, you're talking at potential, in an ideal world, 10 players to leave before the deadline. And I think the large majority will. I think there'll probably be loan deals. And I said this a couple of months ago, that this will be likely what we'll see, because these players aren't going to be high up on people's list. They're going to be panic buys because they haven't been playing very well for Leicester, but you know, they're available, and it gets to the point that some clubs just want in a body, so they'll end up getting some of our players that are available.
It's mad, isn't it? I was thinking about this earlier. I think, you know, less than two seasons ago we finished eighth and we were disappointed.
Yeah,
a lot of the players were all expecting to go on to bigger and better things. I don't think any of them, Barnes potentially, Maddison potentially, have gone to clubs. I mean, they're on the up, but Spurs finished fifth. That's probably a good season for them. Newcastle finished fifth. That's probably a good season for them now. I think they'd probably both have aspirations higher than that, but that's the ballpark they're in. And I was thinking about this earlier, that whole team, it's such... It's a sorry end for all of them. So I was thinking about this quite a lot with Ndidi potentially going to Forest, and you kind of go, yeah, that's about the level he's at, if that, really, because they're disappointed that they're signing for him. And Rodgers isn't doing very well at Celtic. And I don't take much pleasure in seeing that. It does amuse me that Castagne's gone to Fulham, you know, for a bloke that seemingly, you know, had aspirations to go and play for Juve or Arsenal. He's kind of played for Fulham, like they're barely a Premier League club. It also amused me last week when, you know, there are a few comments flying around about Vardy and overstaying his welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Because I probably it was of the thought process that Rodgers has made a lot of these players. I think I've changed my mind on that. Vardy has made so many of those players look better than they are. He's actually made this whole club look better than it is. I mean, he was the reason we finished fifth twice, because he just scored everything. And I know I'm perma-rattled by everything I read on Twitter, but the guy can stay forever. If he wants another 3 years, like, let him stay, because he was brilliant when he came in on Saturday. And as George says, I honestly couldn't care less who leaves apart from Vardy, because he's such an icon at this club. I don't really care. If he doesn't score a goal this year, I don't care. We're like, we owe him everything. And a lot of those players that are moving on, he's made them look so much better than they are, because we've had genuinely one of the all-time Premier League players playing for us, and he's still playing for us. And it's starting to occur to me that this might be his last season, which is actually something that we shouldn't just take for granted, because we're never going to see a player of his like again. And anyone who thinks he's outstayed his welcome does not deserve Leicester City, in my opinion, and the ride we've had. I'm not sure I answered your question there, but I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Well, regardless of what I asked, that's the best thing I think said on the podcast today, mate. Echo it 100%. Yeah, absolute nonsense being spouted on Twitter this week. And yeah, I'm glad you said that, because 100% agree. And I do think this will be his last season at Leicester. I do. But as I said, don't care. Just want to enjoy it and remember for the years and the things he did give us. Right. So with deadline day being, is it Wednesday, Thursday?
Friday night.
It is Friday night. Ignore me. So let's do, shall we, a Twitter Spaces potentially post. Well, now window not shut.
We might have some exclusives, because Jordan will be working for The Athletic, so we can just do them quicker than he can.
Yeah, there we are. Break them embargoes, mate, and get it out on Twitter first. So yeah, we'll look to do that. Rick's had to pop off already. Any other business? Anything we want to add today before we finish up?
I've got one thing very quickly, because I had a conversation with someone this weekend. In the first part of the season, the Coventry game, we referenced some of the drivel that was said to Rick. We may have said some things that people might not have liked. To be really clear, they were things that Rick was called, and we were trying to laugh it off. If anyone was offended, we apologise about that profusely. We didn't use the words directly. We'd never use the words directly. We'd absolutely condone all kinds of abuse he was given. We were trying to laugh it off, and if people were upset with that, please accept our apologies. It's not something that we do.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. One thing as well, actually, from me, because we've not mentioned this, from the game at the weekend, Jack, the Kiernan Dewsbury Hall heckler. Yes.
Have you got? Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to play it.
do I have it? Yes, I have.
That was basically the entire home fans for the whole game just shouting fuck off at all our players.
Mm.
I don't know why he was so rattled, because that was probably Kiernan's worst performance of the season.
It was rubbish.
I know.
But, you know, good to see him annoying home fans. So, yeah.
And then one other thing, our song today, Leicester Fiesta. So, are we trying to now get an official Big Strong Leicester Boys song, whether it be Leicester Fiesta? Was it Martin Harvey?
I don't know. I've asked Dave from Chiwadi Wadi to try and track him down, but he's had no luck.
Mm. So, again, by the power of this podcast, if Martin Harvey, the singer of Leicester Fiesta, is listening, can we use this song as our official podcast song? Or, because I know we've been mentioning this as well, Rick knows some guys in the band, and they've potentially said they'd make us one, wouldn't they? So Martin Harvey, Leicester Fiesta, that was the one today. And I think we're going to finish it up there, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, top stuff, lads. So yeah, back post-transfer deadline day, expecting lots, hoping for lots, some players out the door, looking like we could have a couple more in before then as well. But look, it's all things rosy at Leicester at the moment. 5 from 5. Have a great week. We'll see you there.
Social Podcast Network.